Let us begin this service by singing 228, the first and the second stanza, 228. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant, anointed by thy grace. Number 228, the first and the second stanza. We read to you from God's holy word, the Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter, and we commence with verse 11, Acts 4. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a noble miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old, and whom this miracle of heaven was showed. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, let it not be evil in thy holy sight, that we draw nigh unto thy throne in this evening hour of this work day, where in the way of thy providence and in thy long suffering thy hand has spared us and protect us each and every one till this present moment. We are still with one another in the land of living and in the day of salvation, privileged in this evening to come under thy word and testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation. Lord, make room in our hearts and make us receptive for the word that shall come unto us, that it find an entrance into our soul, that it be in power of thee unto salvation, a lamp for our feet and a light upon our path, that it was to the conversion of sinners. Thou speakest and it is her, thou commandest and it stands firm. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. Reveal thy almighty power towards us and towards our children and grandchildren, where that they are, over the length and over the breadth of the earth. And thou knowest all the needs and all the wants perfectly. And by nature there is not one that is seeking the Lord and that is calling to him who gives psalms in the night. But by regeneration then everything becomes different. Reveal thy almighty power amongst us and in our generation, and show it unto us together, that thy hand is not shortened to help us, but that unto thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, is given all power in heaven and upon earth. Strengthen thy people, we will hear this evening, by renewing the strength given to thy servants and children to stand up for the name and the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they receive power from on high and strength from thee, then the devil is be ashamed, and even the greatest enemies, they can say nothing. But only in the power of that faith which overcomes the world. Lord, visit thy children amongst us. Give them strength and give them light. Establish thy work in their hearts and give out of free and sovereign grace that they may leave this place in this evening with that comfort in their heart that remains in life and death. That it all be to the honor of thy precious name. Remember all the sick and all the afflicted, those who are still in the different hospitals. Look upon one as well the other. Thou knowest the serious condition also of that father who always was with us every service he was here. And now he is laying there in great weaknesses. Oh, strengthen him. Recover him if it can please thee. Also that old mother in the hospital. Be with her where it also for her is as the end of their life. Prepare each and every one to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. Remember the boys in the service and in Vietnam and in the different countries in which they are, that thy eyes were open over them by day and by night in all the temptations, but also in all the dangers in which they are day and night. Widows and orphans and widows, strengthen them. Remember all thy servants over the length and breadth of the earth, also amongst us in our own church. Remember them also, him who is going backward as it seems very quick now. Remember his soul. Visit him. And be with him that when the day of death soon shall come, that it be a day of joy for his heart. Supply all the needs in the families, for parents and for children. And with all the troubles and with all the hardships and afflictions, that we receive a place to go. To pour out our heart before thee and to take everything is over from us and that to the glory of thy name and that our soul find rest in thee. Strengthen also us in this evening. Give some edifying words to speak in the midst of the congregation. Thy hand has strengthen us in the manifold labors from day to day laid upon our shoulders. And we were privileged yesterday to come home and to come back to see one another again in the land of living, that we acknowledge thy name for everything and forgive our sins and all our transgressions, blot them out in the precious blood of the Lamb. For Christ's sake only, amen. Number 339. 339. O Lord, my earnest cry, thy listening ear has heard. With thy salvation answer me, and I will keep thy word, and I will keep thy word. Number 3. 39. My text for this evening is in the second part of Acts 4, verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let him go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Thus far. Beloved congregation, we have heard the last time when we spoke by renewing about Acts 4 verse 12 that the disciples Peter and John, that they received so much boldness and strength from the Lord. They were standing there for that Sanhedrin in the power of the Lord. They have no fear for anybody. And they were privileged, highly privileged, to stand up for the honor and for the glory of the Lord. They have preached with such a freedom and liberty, laying also open for that Jewish people what they had done. And that now that stone, rejected by the builders, that he is now become the head of the corner. And that with all that religion, that people, that Jewish people, Pharisees and scribes, that they brought up, that it was all nothing. That people was missing everything, as that everyone by nature also is missing everything. That there is, in other words, that there is never any hope and an expectation of men. That it is in vain to seek something in ourselves. Because Peter, he said, neither is there salvation in any other. Not only that Sanhedrin, but everybody is placed here outside. And then the necessity of the knowledge of that Christ and the knowledge of that salvation, but also that the applying of that salvation is so necessary for each and every one. In other words, outside of Christ, there is no life, there is no hope, and there is no expectation for anyone in the world. That Sanhedrin that was amazed about the boldness of that Peter and of John. They marveled about it because they know that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Those Pharisees, they have old school. They have received in their life from their early days till that they came to those offers. They were always instructed. Thus they have gathered outwardly much wisdom. But still they were marveled about those disciples, unlearned and ignorant men. But they have known something too. And that is remarkable, congregation, to consider that in this evening, few minutes. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In that last part of that verse, we have there many thoughts to consider. In the first place, this, that even that Sanhedrin, that they never were concerned about the church, about the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have nothing to do with it. They have also no interest to learn something of it and to inform what kind of people that was following the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in that respect, they are the same as the world. The world, in general, they bothered themselves also not with the church. And religious people, sometimes, there is of course much difference in religious people. You have not to think that they are all so ignorant. Sometime then, it is nog wel eens een surprise. Of course, there are so many people, religious people in our days, that live a very easy life, and as they say, I heard that on my trip from a wife of a professor, she said to me, we go all to one place. To one place, I say no. No. That is shall I be different. Oh, she said no. The Lord is so merciful. And we have not to bother with that. No. But of course, totally ignorant about the foundation of salvation. Totally. This afternoon I came in contact with somebody else, then that man that sold Christmas trees. A pile was there on that yard. I say to that man, there is lacking something with those trees. He say, I know. I thought that is of something. I say, what is lacking then? He said, they have no root. I say, you are right. Yeah, you are all right. Yeah. He said, I know. Sometime it is a surprise, really. Therefore, people, the Lord, he said, cast your bread upon the waters. Where that we have an opportunity, we have to talk and to speak. Not to be ashamed, no. And we never know what the Lord will do with few words sometimes, spoken, as the Bible said, in due season. But now they took knowledge at that text of them that they had been with Jesus. It seems in regard to that text, that before they have no knowledge of it at all. Maybe they have even not known who that Peter and John were. As I say before this evening already, they are not bothering themselves with God's people. They are not interested, they are glad that they have not to meet him. Do they inform in that respect nothing of them? But now, when they were standing for that Sanhedrin, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. But now there is another question involved. And that is, in what respect that they had been with Jesus. In what respect? That is a respect, congregation, with what you read in the Bible, in the Word of God, about Christ himself. In Luke 2, verse 47. When Christ was 12 years old, then he was in the temple, and sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking him questions. And then you read in verse 47 of that chapter, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And now after some years, there was some there amongst that Sanhedrin who had heard that and who had known that. Of course, not in a favorable sense, he had to read the word, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. On account that they thought nothing about Jesus, they did not believe in him, but they saw him as a notorious person. And now they have informed that those two men, that Peter and John, that they also belonged to that 12 that had followed that Jesus. Thus now they thought it is not a wonder that they are so bold and that they can talk so much. They have that learned from their master. He was also bold. He spoke always so free amongst the people. And now you can see that it are followers of Jesus. And then, of course, you read in verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. In other words, they were so persuaded about that miracle that the Lord had wrought there in that man and towards that man by the apostles. It was impossible to deny. All the people that have known that man, that he lay there for 40 years by that gate of the temple beautiful. And now he was there standing in the temple. He was praising the Lord. They could say nothing against it. You can realize that for that Sanhedrin, it was an awful blow. They would do everything to bring that religion of the Lord Jesus Christ to nothing. But they could not persuade the people. And they could also not deny what the Lord has wrought. Outwardly and inwardly, what the Lord is working and performing, we cannot deny it. No. You read that in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ time and again, that the people have to say a miracle have taken place. And because that is, it is wrought by the Lord. And what means that when I say this evening that it is wrought by the Lord? Then there lays always a brightness upon it. The brightness of the Lord. The majesty of the Lord. You have, in other words, you have to fall under it. So clear it was. That is outwardly as that it happens here with that man. But that is also inwardly. That was also with the same man the same thing. He before those days he knew nothing about the Lord. He had no thoughts to glorify the Lord. Nothing at all. And now he could not be squired of it. Now he was speaking about it, and he was testifying about the work of the Lord. They could not deny. It was impossible. But now what to do? What now to do? Peter and John, and that man also who was before crippled, En Lane, that man was ook standing there. They have called him also as a witness. And what could they now do? They were confused with all their wisdom and with all the knowledge that they had, congregation. The Roman emperors later on, they were not so confused as here that Sanhedrin. Because when they came for those matters and cases, but to do with the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they cast them for the lions. Thus they were well set in their ways. But here with that Sanhedrin it was different. They were to a certain extent, congregation, they were afraid. And they have ook no courage in public to say something more. That was the reason that they commanded them to go aside out of the council. They conferred among themselves. Thus, those three persons, Peter and John, and that man who was before lame, that have to leave that room. And then they have to talk with one another. We read that more in the Bible. You read that already in the Old Testament. Such an example of a king who don't know what to do. You all remember, boys and girls, you all remember Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He saw that the people of Israel there in Egypt was growing and multiplying. And he don't know what to do with it. And now here's that Sanhedrin, they were with 70 members, 70. Three people are standing there. What is now the comparison between 70 and 3? And then not to know what to do with that people. Oh yeah, people, that's today the same thing. The world and the religion, they don't know what to do with God's people. It would for thousands and thousands a blessing that they came rid of. Really? They don't know what to do. That is, people, they say, you can do nothing with them. You can bring up some things, but it is always no, 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 no. There's always what it is. Does you can realize in meetings and where you come and in families, the people that is standing by the power of the Lord and in the strength of the Lord for God and for His word, that is always people that is as standing in the way, stumble blocks. But those stumble blocks shall there be as long as the world lasts. The world shall never come rid of. We have less heard that about Daniel. Yeah, that man that was 90 years and still he was governor. And they have all done something since that that boy was 14 years old. 40. Just figure the matters out. How many years? And still 90 years old and no governor. So it is with God's people. They would come right over, but no. That's impossible. And they were afraid to say something in their presence too. Of course. That was the reason that he said, let them go aside of the council. And then we have his time, then we can freely talk about it. What we now shall do, what we will do with those stumble blocks. And with the people that you never can convince. Of course, what there was behind that is clear enough, Miss people. The Lord was standing on the right and on the left side. The Lord was the instructor. And what can we bring in? And what we can say towards all that the Lord teaches and instructs his people? Nothing. You can take professors from a college, but no, with all their wisdom, they are so poor. And we have to realize, my dear friends, that if the anointing of the Holy Spirit is lacking in our life, for a minister and for a member, if that is lacking, then it are all dry words and empty sentences. Read. That's all that it is. And if they have to come towards other ones who have that privilege, then they lose the battle. And of course that is something to confess that. You shall hear it this evening out of that history too. To come as down and to confess I am wrong. I don't know. Because that costs your honor and that costs your place here in the world and in the church. So it was also with that Sanhedrin. They conferred among themselves. The same thing with that man that we heard last week with Thanksgiving Day, or the Sunday before, what shall I do? Same thing. Conferring with himself. God's people have another privilege. With all their needs and with all their wants. And with all their troubles and with all their afflictions, they have a place to go. And to pour out their heart before the living God. They have hope not to work it out themselves. Oh no, they can come against you people. But if God's children are privileged to commend it themselves, and surrendering themselves into the hand of the Lord, then we have to do nothing. The Lord works it out. And the people have to follow and to look for what the Lord is doing in their life. And now the question that came, what shall we do to these men? What shall we do to these men? Because they did realize if they would not stop him, and of course they could not stop him, but they thought, what shall left over soon for us? Our temple, our synagogues, it is soon all empty. And then that people that have the crowd. And then we are standing around the pulpit, those rabbis and those Pharisees and scribes, no hearers soon. Because they did realize already now, when that Peter was preaching and John was preaching, They draw the majority of the people. And at last there was something special there. There was something from the Lord in the preaching. And that was bounding the hearts and the conscience of their people. What shall we do to these men? Really, they say to one another, it is a problem. God's people that brings to the religion and to the world problems. Really, they bring problems. And they have realized that Peter, and that John, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And start now is to fight against that. Start now. Even when God's children receive freedom and liberty, then there is nobody that can stop when they are taught. And then that give also, when they have a special opening, that give also an impression and an influence upon the heart of other people. They have never to fight for himself. No, that is something that the Lord is doing there. What shall we now do to these men? You can realize it was a serious question there. And they were troubled with it. For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. Does they have to confess that there was some, that there has happened something from the Lord? Clear enough. We cannot deny it, they say. Because there is no doctor in the whole world, a man that was born lame, that he walks. And then that he is speaking, that was the second wonder, that he is speaking there to the honor and the glory of the Lord. Really a wonderful thing. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. No sentence of death is spoke out there, no, but only a threatening, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. That was now for the second time that Israel in public denied the Lord Jesus Christ. First they have put him outside by crucifying the Lord on Calvary's cross. And now they will take away his name. They speak not about Jesus Christ here, no, but they speak about this name, and that was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was an offense, that name. And those disciples, they were talking nothing else than only that name. That was the joy of their heart to talk about him. Why? Because that Christ, that was their life. Christ was their foundation. Christ was for their people all and in all. They have learned that name. They were privileged that that name was revealed in their heart. And they were privileged also that that name was applied to their heart. And what was now the result for those apostles? That they loved that name with all that was in them. In regard to himself, they thought not so much about him. Oh no. They thought not about himself so much. They have learned to deny himself. But now in regard to that name, the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that was so precious to the people that were, that they have an opportunity. They were talking about that name all the time. But now they would threaten him. Yeah. That was now finally the conclusion. They have no freedom to go further, in other words, than only to threaten. To command them, now you keep your mouth shut. You never talk about that name. The disciples, of course, yeah, their minds and their thoughts were also thinking, but shall be here now soon when they call us back? They have thought about nothing than to die. Why? Oh, the Lord Jesus, he had said to his disciples, they have persecuted me, they shall persecute you too. This they did not expect anything else. That is, of course, the way of God's children, and that is the way of God's servants. Sentenced to death, to die. Were they afraid to die? No. They were not afraid. The Lord was in their heart. The Holy Spirit was in their soul. The love of God was given to them. And if you have those things together, then whether you live or that you die, that is the same. Blessed is God's people, and blessed are God's children who are privileged with that in their life. They called them. And then they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. This, I would say in my words, that Sanhedrin that put that people out of their office. No more apostle. No more speaking and no more teaching. You can do nothing. But of course, it was all foolishness. But that Sanhedrin had to say to the Peter and to the John. In other words, that Sanhedrin that would quench the fire of the Holy Spirit that was in the heart of the apostles. Was that now possible? No. They were in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were speaking with authority that they have received from him. They were standing in the strength of the Most High. That was their life. That was their daily life, to preach and to teach. They had nothing in sight than the hour of the Lord, the welfare of sight. And if your heart now is full of it, full of the Lord and full of the Spirit, then there is nothing so easy than to talk about. Then it is as a stream that flows on, in the fields, over the fields. Were the apostles trembling, filled with fear, and they come back? Could you see it upon their faces that they were afraid? Oh, no. I think there was well a brightness from heaven that was laying upon their faces. You can believe that, really? It was even an honor for those disciples, a great honor to talk there and to witness there for the name and the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately, of course, that they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. We are standing in the service of the Lord. That was what Peter would say to them. We are sent by him. And shall we now listen to that Sanhedrin? No, not at all. Of course, you can realize, congregation, that that Sanhedrin, that was bound. Really, that was bound. And those, that Peter and John, that was free. 2 Timothy 2:9, there Paul, he said, the word of God is not bound. And 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But I told you already this evening, it is hard for a man to come down. It is hard for a man to confess his wrong. Even God's people cannot do it sometime easier for the Lord than before men. That is our proud nature that we have. I as well as you are, we are all the same. No difference. No difference at all. Those Pharisees and scribes, the Sanhedrin, they were all sitting in an high chair, in a high place. And if now that people was privileged with the grace of the Lord, oh, then they came, they step up. And they say, oh, people, oh, Peter and John, we are totally wrong. And you are right. Because in their heart, they were convinced about the work of the Lord. And that it was a lost case for them. They did realize it. But because they were missing the grace of God, and now the result that was nothing else than to maintain themselves. In Holland zou we zeggen, Gods volk, dat mag het wel eens verspelen. God's people that come sometime down, they have to come down. They are privileged to come down. And they are glad when they lost the battle. But if we are without grace, then there is no hope for that. No. And why is that now such a great privilege for God's children to do that? How can they do that? We sing that now together. Out of 29. I keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved. At my right hand he guards from ill, and I shall not be moved. My heart is glad and blessed. My soul its joy shall tell. And lo, my flesh in hope shall rest, and still in safety dwell. 29 second stanza. If you realize, congregation, the answer that Peter and John give to that Sanhedrin in the first place, that was full of odor. That they love the Lord, that they love his righteousness, and that they would do his will. The answer of Peter and John, that was an absolute refusal. A perfect disobedience. You would say perfect disobedience, how is that possible? A perfect disobedience to the Sanhedrin. They obey the Lord. But disobedient towards that Sanhedrin. The Lord in heaven had called that people. And Christ, who was sitting now at that time already, at the right hand of his Father, he had sent them into the world. He had to start in Jerusalem, and then Samaria, and then over the whole world to preach the gospel. We cannot against mission work. No. That is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord calls us, then he qualified us, and he makes us willing to. Moses, he said, I have no mouth, no tongue. See? Isaiah, he was unclean of lips. He could do nothing. Jeremiah said, I am young. Thus they have all objections. But after that the Lord take away their objections, then the way is clear. And then they speak with freedom and with liberty. And the Lord is standing on the right and left. And you have to be astonished what comes out then. If the Lord anointed with his Holy Spirit. That was with those disciples. At that time the same thing. They make, some writer he said about his text. They made revolution. Peter and John. Revolution. In what respect? It was a revolution that came from heaven. And they brought that revolution here in the world. It was from the Holy Spirit. And through the eternal word of God. And as I say, God's word is not bound. Peter and John, they could rather die than stay off from the pulpit. In our day, so many ministers, 65, then they are so glad that it is done, that they are retired. Oh, sometime you read in the papers, I have read it several times, that they are, that someday we are 2-3 years looking for the day that they were 65 years old. Yeah. 65 years old. With Caleb it was different, boys, right? Oh yeah, with Caleb it was different. He was 85 years old, that man. And then he was so strong as that he was 40. And he had no desire to fight that man. That is something, 85 years old. Yeah, I think this here, all people sitting there think. Oh, if I think about that Caleb, then I cannot stay home. Right? Yeah. I cannot stay home. But there was another spirit in that man. Oh, boys, the service of the Lord, that is a wonderful service. And I see sometime well as out, also out of our own church, that the Lord knows will call young men and place them as on the pulpit, anointed by the Spirit, that they can spend their life in the service of the Lord. And of course, you have never to be concerned about anything outwardly. No. We have this week in the West a meeting to call a minister. And then there was a talk, what shall we do? Salary and so on and so forth. As that goes in the world, in the church too. Oh, I say, people, stop with all that talk, please. Stop with all that talk. There's all nothing. If you receive a minister in the favor of the Lord take care for everything. For everything. Even that you could promise him not one penny of a nickel of a quarter. Really? Oh? The Lord, he takes care for him. Have you ever heard about that Peter and that John, that there was lacking something? Did you ever hear that they had to collect for himself? No. The Lord, he made everything well. He prepared the heart of the children of men. If there is love for the truth, there is the pocketbook that goes open, the same thing. Oh, yes. There shall well be times, people, when the word of God had such a power in their heart that they will give you well the last penny that they have in their pocketbook. Feel you? That is the result of it. That the widow in the temple, she gave all that she had. And still she was rich. But there's now a problem. That is now a problem. There's that answer that Peter gave and John, that was an absolute refusal. No. We go on with preaching. And we go on with teaching the word of God. That is our life, that is our calling. And it is the gladness of our heart to do that. Not a burden, but a joy for the heart and for the soul. I hope you would just have a desired voice in the midst. Not girls. There is no place on the pulpit for such ones. No. But fell for boys, and to stand in the power and in the majesty of the Lord. Yeah, and now, the poor Sanhedrin. 70 people. Doors three there. Doors two. Yeah, you would say you took the people and you set them out of the room and say, our word that hath dominion. But no. The word of the Lord that had dominion, speaking by Peter and by John. And he said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Thus they have seen it with their eyes and they have heard it with their ears. For everybody necessary about Christ, to know him and to hear him, to know his voice, this voice of my beloved. So when they had further threatened them, they let him go, finding nothing how they might punish him because of the people. In the Holland language, in the text, that is that they threatened them more than before. Here, they had further threatened them. Same thing, of course. First, you read in the Holland Bible that they had threatened them sharp, serious. But here they threatened them more. Still they could find nothing wrong, and they go. Oh, you can realize what a gladness that there was in the heart of that Peter and of that Jan. Oh, one thing, and then I close this evening. Oh, my dear people, to realize that the Lord is with us. To realize that he is on our right and left side. That he make us not ashamed, but that he helps and strengthens us. Leaving that place, oh, I think it was well in their heart, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that in me is his holy name. Because if the Lord has had given his divine approval, O children of God in my midst, I hoped for you too, that in your pathway here in this veil of tears, I hope in your pathway that the Lord gave you time and again his divine approval, his favor, his love, his grace. And then, oh, then you shall travel your way rejoicing, really rejoicing. One word from him, one smile from him, one thought of him. And then the realizing that the Lord is on our right and on our left hand, and that he shall never leave and shall never forsake. Shall we then not rejoicing in the Lord? Oh, I hope in this coming night the Lord giveth us together. I hope so. Boys and girls, there is no better service in the world than the service of the Lord. There is no bitterness in it. There is sweetness in it. It is mingled with love and with favor. And then time and again, the Lord, he strengthened that people. He upholds that people. He comforts that people. He goes with them. They have a quest to come for magistrates here inside. And that devil that is so strong sometimes. Oh, that devil. He bothered that people so many times. And sometimes hard thoughts about the Lord in our life. Sometimes it seems that the Lord is not hearing us and not answering us. But, oh, young and old, if we trust in the Lord with our heart, we shall not be ashamed. I hope the Lord sanctify the few words to the conversion of sinners and to the gladness of his dear children, that it was as a provision on our pathway to the desert of this world, and above all to his honor and to his glory. Amen. Lord, bless the few words spoken in this evening in the midst of the congregation. We acknowledge thy name, that we have the privilege to come together, and that thy hand has inclined several hearts not to come under the word of God in this busy world, and in this world full of fun and of wretchedness and of sin. That for the young people, for our coming and rising generation, that it was especially also to a blessing for their heart. O Lord, call men to preach the gospel as it is in Christ Jesus. Remember the whole congregation with elders and deacons, with parents and children. Prepare us for the next Sabbath day, and fill our heart with the fear of thy holy name, with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 249. Because thy trust is God alone, thy refuge is the highest one. No evil shall upon thee come, nor plague approach thy guarded home. Number 249, the first stanza. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.